It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone out there in radio land. I am George Williams, and this is the George Williams Show. I'm so glad, folks, to be back behind the mic, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We do have a special guest that we're going to be talking to. He's in the studio here. Our number here is 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. If you want to listen to us on your cell phone, that's no problem. All you have to do is pull up FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. That's FM Talk, 1065.com. And you could take us with you every place you go. Even if you're outside our listening area, you can still listen on your cell phone. Matter of fact, there are folks in Brazil, in South America, and in Africa who are listening to this show, okay? So we're all over the place, folks, and we're here to let you know what's going on in our city, our state, our county, and the U.S. We've got a lot to talk about because those Democrats are crazy, folks. They are. And after we finish with our guests, I'll be talking about that. And I know a lot of you Democrats are not going to like it, but that's tough. We don't care. All right. Our first guest tonight, he is Troy Vickers, and he is running for the Fairhope City Council in Fairhope, Alabama. Welcome, Troy.
Good evening, George. Glad to be with you here in the studio.
All right. We're so glad to have you here because I always said that we welcome any candidate who want to come in and let the people know about who you are and what your platform is all about. So that's what we're going to do with you. We'll start off with tell our folks who you are.
I'm Troy Vickers. Originally grew up in a little town in Sturgis, Mississippi. We lived about 10, 15 miles out in the country. So no city conveniences there. We didn't have to worry about all the infrastructure problems we got in Fairhope. Went to Mississippi State, got a degree in civil engineering, graduated there, and went to work in oil field. And moved to Lafayette, Louisiana, straight out of college. And then moved to New Orleans, and while in New Orleans, I was working down here in Baldwin County, down between Bon Secours and Foley in 1979, 80, 81 time frame. So got to know that area real, real well.
Okay.
Well, when you your company says you move, back then, it's not like it is today where kids just say, well, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to type on the computer and work from home. You had to move, so move from New Orleans to Houston. I had met my wife in New Orleans. We got married there a year later and lived in Houston until retired. And then we moved to Fairhope and built a house in Fairhope, and we actually moved in right after COVID with all the delays and everything. We moved in January of 22.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you've been here since January of 22.
Yeah, we're one of those folks that everybody in Fairhope calls, you're new, you shouldn't be here, you need to get out and leave, you have no ideas, right. You don't know what it's like.
Yeah, right, right. I call that the election jealousy, okay? Invenets, that's what I call it. They know not what they're saying.
That's a good description.
That's right, that's right. So you're running for city council in Fairhope. What make you want to run for that position?
Well, being an engineer, and I'm licensed in the state of Alabama as an engineer, so okay. I'm not a make-believe engineer. When I got there, I started watching what was going on in the city, the way planning was taking place, way some of the decisions were being made, and it just didn't make any sense to me. And so then I started looking at, okay, can we do something different? Then in our neighborhood, we started having some issues, and then there were some things that would happen during the year that actually went down to city council for some meetings there and sat there and listened to what was happening in the council meetings and the way that the citizens were getting treated. And a lot of I felt a lot of disrespect. I thought sometimes we were citizens we were being gaslighted by the council. And so I walked out of one of the council meetings one night and just made a statement, something to the effect that that was absolutely disgusting the way way I felt. And somebody said, "You ought to run for city council," and I said, "I will."
Right. Now, you're talking about you felt this way because of the way the city council were treating the citizens.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to get that out.
Yep. And so after a lot of discussion with my wife and some others in the community, decided to do it and decided on the last day of qualifying, I qualified.
Okay.
And been running hard for the last month and a half.
All right. Now, how does the city council positions work in Fairhope? I know it's a strong council and weak mayor.
That's correct. And all council seats are citywide.
Okay.
So every the mayor and all five council seats run citywide. They're basically at large. They're not called districts. They're called places.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to campaign the whole city.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead. You said that's the reason you're running because of...
And so being the, again, coming back to being an engineer, it was like, okay, you can see Fairhope slipping away.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you really got to protect is the image of Fairhope, because that's what sells Fairhope.
Now, right now, they have a bad image, very bad image. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's that bad. Downtown and everything has the bad image. I think the growth issues, the infrastructure issues we have. I mean, you know, 2 years ago we had a water shortage during the summer. Basically, couldn't water your grass. You couldn't wash your car. You couldn't wash your sidewalk and driveway off. That's lack of planning, long-term planning there. Lack of vision. You know, Fairhope, probably 15 years ago, they had a lot of things that they could have done and moved forward with then. And it's easier to sometimes just push things down the road a little bit. And, you know, that seems to be what's happened. And it finally catches up with you. It's like maintenance on a house. You can push it off so long, and then finally it's going to catch up with you that you've got to do that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things in the paper about Fairhope, okay, especially dealing with the drag queen parades, okay, and the child pornography in the libraries and all that. And those are the negative things. And I love Fairhope. Fairhope is a fantastic city. But because of some of the politicians, it is turning into a battle zone.
Well, we have a big issue with the library right now, because the state has pulled some funding from our library, and the library committee has looked at books and decided that they would not put them up. And having looked at some of those books personally, I think that they're not for children. I wouldn't have my kids to look at them. And I think it's Mahood and V. Taylor that just came out of Maryland, the case there where parents sued because they wanted their kids in school not to be taught some things. I think we're still the same thing going on in Fairhope. We need to have parental rights and sort of take government out of that. Let's have parental rights. Let's put those kind of books up to where if parents want the kids to see them and read them, hey, parents get to make that decision, not the kids.
Right. Now, you know, we've got about a half a minute before we go into our first break. But the board, education board in Fairhope, who does it consist of?
The library board is
library.
Library board is made up of appointees by the city council.
City council. Okay, so they are city council. All right, folks, we're talking to Troy Vickers, who is a candidate for city council in Fairhope, Alabama. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. This is George Williams, and this is the George Williams Show. And, folks, we're on a mission. We are always on a mission, especially when it comes to getting as many Democrats out of office as we can, folks. And that is our priority mission. But right now, we are talking to Mr. Troy Vickers, who is one of the candidates for the city council position in Fairhope, Alabama. Troy, we're glad you're here.
Hello, George.
All right.
Back again.
Okay. What are some of the issues that you see in Fairhope that you can make better, that you can improve?
Well, off air, we were talking about what's the first thing that you'd do when I get elected. First thing I think would focus on something that surprised me was the $100,000 no bid.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a contract is less than $100,000, it can get basically assigned to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think citizens deserve better than that. I think they need to everything needs to be bid. And get their money's worth out of every tax dollar that they spend,
mm-hmm.
That they make. The city council give us the ability to use that money to better the citizens of Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be the very first thing. I think it'd be something fairly simple to get done. So I think that would be one of the things we really need to take a look at. One of the things that I also look at is doing away with the grocery and prescription pharmaceutical sales, city sales tax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think those two sales taxes penalize those that need that 2% the most.
Right.
And so I think we could look at our city budget and the money we take in and see a way that if we could not do away with it, and maintain the quality of life that we have in Fairhope there through what we spend. If we can't do that, then we definitely should reduce it. But I'd like to see us do away with that.
Okay.
Didn't
President Trump had a bill in the budget to get rid of Social Security taxes on seniors and some of the other tips?
Right.
Restaurant and all
right.
That.
And pharmaceuticals, it hits the fixed income seniors probably the worst. That 2%, a lot of people say, oh, but just 2%. But when you're on a fixed budget, 2% makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then the folks that's got four kids that kids are eating them out of house and home, and then they got to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. That hits them pretty hard, and 2% would be helpful to those of a lower income bracket.
Right, and also now President Trump is talking about lowering the cost of prescription medicines too.
Right.
So that should play a role also.
Yes, if you could get that and then tack the drop mm-hmm. of the 2% on top mm-hmm. of that, that would be significant for especially for the fixed income seniors.
Right, right.
So okay. One of the other things that we need to look at is I'm a big supporter of our Thomas Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a gem of a hospital there in Fairhope. As a population continues to grow, though, we need to make sure that we have the ability to our hospital to continue to grow and service the needs, not only of the Fairhope citizens, but of the surrounding area that's drawn into Fairhope. And I would be a big supporter of whatever we can do with the hospital, working with the state, Jennifer Fiddler, who's our rep there, and then Barry Moore now with our congressman from our area there, to try to get our reimbursement rates up. We have real low in reimbursement rates for Medicare and insurance in our hospital, so it'd be nice to be able to work with them to maybe get a little bit more money coming in to help us with our in our hospital there. We've got great doctors and great nurses and great administrations there in our hospital, and we just want to really support them and be very vocal about supporting those guys.
Yeah.
The other thing that we've really, really got to protect is the Fairhope charm. If you want to call it the vibe of Fairhope, mm-hmm. that keeps people from coming back, our visitors and our tourism, mm-hmm. and keep them coming in. And that's a lot of our sales tax coming in there is coming from outside of the Fairhope citizenry. And it's the tourists that come in and spend their money buying goods and services in Fairhope. We got some great restaurants too in Fairhope. I don't know, George, you have.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
Get over there.
I get over there. Yeah.
Come on over, and we'll take you to some real good places to eat.
Yeah.
So the restaurants there are really, really good. They really stand out. But when we look at our downtown, we've got to protect our downtown. We can't just take it and say, okay, we can throw up glass hotels and big buildings and this kind of stuff. We've got to be real, real careful mm-hmm. the way we protect our history with our pier and everything that we've got with Mobile Bay sitting right there, the gem of a bay. It's really important that we keep Fairhope, Fairhope.
Did they finish the pier?
The pier is finished. It's open.
Okay.
One of the things that I would like to see it and have talked to quite a few people along the area down there is people that are being turned away where our North Beach is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're turned away because we charge now $20 a car to go in there. Of course, citizens get the free use of it. But we built this beautiful pier, beautiful area down at the waterfront, and we got our beach there. And so we need to make sure that not only the citizens get to take advantage of it, but tourists and others in the South Alabama area that come to Fairhope get to take a use
okay.
of it.
Okay. What if you go fishing there? Because I used to go there all the time. What if you – is it free to park?
There's free parking as long as there's parking. That's one of the things that we have a problem with down there. And now it's so popular, it's hard to find a parking spot.
Right.
If you want to go and park on North Beach and you're not a citizen, you have to pay the fee to go park in North Beach, even though you might be just going fishing.
Okay.
I was out on the pier the other night talking with some of the fishermen. And I was asking them how you like the new pier. They think it's great, think they did a great job with the new bait cutting stations and wash stations. But one of the things that they complained about was that we didn't put the lights back underneath the pier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you don't get the bugs, you don't get the bait fish, and you don't get the big fish.
That's true, because I used to love fishing underneath where the lights are.
Right.
I'd be surprised.
Now we've got the lights, stanchions on the pier, so right. you can see the walk, but to put some lights underneath the
yeah.
pier.
Yeah,
which we used to have.
Fish hanging around
right.
underneath there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So a lot of the fishermen were questioning, why couldn't we get some lights out here, especially on the end? And it's very interesting when you start talking to people, the ideas that they have.
Yeah.
They said, look, if you'd put the lights out here toward the end, what we'd have happen is the fishermen would move out there and leave the rest of the pier for the folks that's just walking down the pier mm-hmm. and wanting to enjoy mm-hmm. being at the pier and being at the restaurant there on mm-hmm. the pier.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting when you talk to the citizenry what you can learn.
Okay. Yeah, I like going to Fairhope. I just don't like the political atmosphere. And I think that you need wholesale changes. I really do with the council folks, okay? Because, man, you know, the drag racing, queen racing, you know, parades and all that, that is terrible.
Well, it's as some of the citizens told me, said they were talking about that, And we were having a very deep discussion about it. And they said, well, I guess as long as the council thinks that they are staying inside the law as it is now, then maybe that's what is okay. They're not really happy with it, but they're okay with it. But then they followed up that exact same thing and says, but that means we need to change the law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're unwilling to change the law, that's what you're going to deal with. If you're willing to change it, then mm-hmm. you have the possibility of keeping things the way Fairhope used to be.
Used to be, right, right. And I really think they need to change the law, okay, to discontinue that. And also to purify the library, because it's the same thing. You know, you have all of those pornographic books in, and children have access to them.
Well, I think we need to put the books up and put them in an adult section and leave that up to parents of what they want to see. Just like reading the writings of Hitler or Stalin or any Mao Zedong, I think those books need to be in the library. I'm not for banning books at all. But what I think we need to do is put those books up and give the parents the right.
Well, what about putting them in another location or put them in a private room? You under lock and key, so if you want to go in there and read them, you can read them. But right. If you put them up high, kids can climb better than you or me, okay? All right?
I got you. Put them in the adult section.
Yeah, right. Put them in the adult section
so
you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that's true. All right. We've got about 2 minutes, and you can talk to your audience and tell them. 1 minute.
1 minute, okay. I've never been known to be short of speech, so and I'm a little slow. You got to remember I'm from central Mississippi, so I speak a little slower. I'm running in place one against an incumbent that's been in office for 13 years. 10 of those, he's been the council president. And where we are today is those 15 years that I talked about earlier. That's brought us to where we are today.
Right.
We have grown about 70% in population in those 15 years. And where we are today is we're actually looking back and fixing things that we should have been fixing all along for those times.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep that same mindset, we'll never, never catch up with the issues that we need to take care of.
Do you have a website or something?
Yes, my website is troyvickers.com.
Okay.
Very simple to remember.
All right. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, folks. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Back, folks. We are back and we are on our mission. We appreciate Troy Vickers coming in to give us an insight on his platform and what he's going to be doing when he's elected to the City Council of Fairhope. Now, folks, there's a special announcement that I have. It is on the 19th of this month,
the North Baldwin County Executive Committee of the Federation of Republican Women will have a meeting. It would be at Treats Restaurant, okay, which is on Highway 59. So we will be there, at least part of it, and we want all the residents in North Baldwin to come to that meeting. It's very important. It's being sponsored by the Federation of Republican Women. All right, we got a caller. Let's see who it is. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Philip, what do you think? They're on the air. Uh-oh.
Call back.
And the call is not on the air anymore, folks. Oh, here we go. Caller, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, George. It's Carol Wilson, president of the North Baldwin Republican Women.
All right. Carol, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you information about the guest speaker.
Okay.
And on August 19th at Street. And so we are actually hosting Caleb Dillard.
Okay.
And he is coming down from Birmingham, Alabama to join us.
Okay.
He will speak at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Again, at Streets Restaurant in Bay Minette.
Right.
And a little bit about Caleb. He grew up in Columbiana, Alabama, and attended Briarwood Christian School.
Mm-hmm.
And following graduation, he enlisted in the Marine Corps, where he served our country for 5 years.
Okay.
After his contract ended, he returned home and received his bachelor's in business administration with concentration in finance at Stanford University. Now, here's where it gets real interesting.
Mm-hmm.
At his father's prompting, he attended Donald Trump's rally in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to share with us what happened to him over the next 4 years. Because he attended that rally.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share with you, he was pardoned by President Trump, and he has quite a story to tell.
Okay.
So we are excited to have him with us and excited that you mentioned our event again on Tuesday, August 19.
Okay.
We'll have a meet and greet at 5 o'clock. We do have a guest fee of only $5 cash to help pay for his travel expenses. And so we are inviting good Republicans and those that have an interest in hearing Caleb's story about what happened to him on the January 6th rally.
All right. That's good. Okay. Very, very, very good. I'll try to get there for the first hour, because, you know, my radio show is on Tuesday night. So
yes.
I'll get there before I drive over to Mobile, okay?
That would be fantastic. We'd love to have you with us, George.
All right. Thank you. And I was supposed to be going to D.C. on January 6th, but something happened where I couldn't go. Can you imagine if I would have gone
You might have had quite
a
story.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
All right, George. Thanks again for the opportunity to highlight this special event in Bay Minette.
All right. We should be there. Thank you.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else was trying to call us, Philip, and I just got a text, and I told them to call us on this number, and they have a question for us. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're on the air. Who's calling?
It's just trying to call us.
Hi, this is Rebecca Watson.
All right. Turn your radio down in the background so we can hear you, Rebecca.
I got it down. Does it work now?
All right. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just I wanted to let all your listeners know that we will be having a candidate forum since you had Troy Vickers on. He is running for, obviously, city council in Fairhope.
Right.
And there will be a Fairhope City Council forum on Monday night, August 18th, from 6 to 8:30.
Mm.
We have all 11 candidates there.
Okay.
And it is sponsored by myself, the Fair Hope Faith Collective, and Common Sense Campaign. So if anyone would like to come, the tickets are free. But if you go onto Eventbrite and search the Fair Hope City Council Forum, you should be able to find it and claim your ticket.
Okay. All right. So that's on the that's on what date?
Monday, August 18th. So next Monday.
Okay, next Monday. Okay, that's a Monday. Are you going to have any food there?
We're not. Well, maybe there might be cookies. There might be cookies.
Okay.
But right. Jeff Poor will be moderating, and I think we're going to be very focused on the issues, and so no one will feel hungry.
Who's going to be moderating?
Jeff Poor.
Jeff Poor. Why isn't George Williams moderating?
George, because George is coming to do our Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, so I'll be doing the pledge.
Yes, you will.
All right, that sounds good. I'll accept that.
Yes, because you already said you would be there, so yeah. I'm counting on you.
Okay, I will do that, okay? On the 18th of this month.
That's right, and don't worry, George, I will send you a reminder text.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say that, you know, because of my age, you know, I really can't help myself, okay?
Hey, I know.
All right.
And you have to save me a dance.
Right. I won't tell you what I told you, but anyway, off the air, I'll tell you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, folks, I have an announcement from Mr. Viggers, and he has a shrimp boil coming, and that's a fundraiser in Fairhope, okay? And he's still here in the studio. Let me see if I can get him. Can you tell our audience about this?
Yeah, we're having a shrimp boil fundraiser Friday night at Sandra's at the corner of Fairhope Avenue and South Church.
Okay.
From 6 to 9, Wes Loper is going to be furnishing the music. Everybody knows Wes. He's great.
Okay.
So come out and join us. It is a fundraiser, so we'll be asking for plate cost, but we'll have shrimp, potatoes, corn, sausage, and have a guy from South Louisiana that's going to be doing all the boiling.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Just tell them don't make it too hot.
Ah, okay. Well, we're going to have a little Tony Sacheris if you want to kick it up.
Okay. I got you. All right, folks, you heard that. It's shrimp boil. It's a fundraiser for Troy Vickers. Okay. It's on the 15th of February.
August.
15th of August.
August.
See, I told you, where's my mind? On the 15th of August, from 6 to 9 p.m.,
yes.
Right?
Right?
And go out and support him.
Please.
Please. Please. All right, let me get back to where I was and what I was talking about. You know, this thing about D.C. and President Trump and what he's doing. Folks, Trump is doing the right thing. It is now being brought out that the Democrats are talking about crime has gone down in D.C. over the last year, 30%. Folks, that's nothing, in my opinion, and based on the president of the police union, who knows the true statistic, that is nothing but a lie, okay? Now, I was stationed twice in D.C., and I can tell you, folks, D.C. is dangerous, very dangerous. It is a city that leads almost the world for its size in homicides and violent crimes. So you hear the Democrats talking about, oh, no, crime is not up in D.C. Folks, don't believe it. Do not, please do not believe it. And I'm talking about the black folks out there. D.C. is run by blacks, okay? Principally black folks, all right? And the black-on-black crime in D.C. and black-on-white crime in D.C. is out of hand, folks. I know people who live in D.C., and I talk to them all the time, okay? This is a situation that President Trump had no other alternative but to send troops And when I say troops, I mean law enforcement troops, okay? National Guard, you got DEA, you got FBI, you got the U.S. Marshal Service. You've got all of them, and they are helping out. And you have local police departments from the Maryland and Virginia. They're also helping out. I mean, crime is outrageous. It's overbearing in D.C. So please don't listen to the Democrats. Don't listen to the Democrats, folks. They are lying. I hope that the Congress take D.C. out of the hands of the locals and put it back in the hands of Congress and the federal government. That's how it used to be up until 1973, okay? Up until 1973. Matter of fact, we had some of the police officers in DEA, FBI, Secret Service, who were D.C. police officers. And, you know, they some of them laddered over. They had to go to the academy like all of us did, who were not D.C. cops. But they have to take D.C. out of the hands of the civilians, okay, and put it into the hands of the federal government like it was prior to 1973 when Congress gave local power to the citizens. I mean, and then you talk about statehood. I mean, 700-some thousand people. And D.C. is not that big, folks. It's not that big. It wasn't built for a city of that many people. It was built to house Congress, the Senate, and federal offices. But they've built houses, apartments, and all that, and you have all those people, and they've ruined D.C. They've ruined it. So don't let anybody lie to you that D.C. is not a haven for criminals. It is. Look at the Judge Pirro, who is the U.S. attorney there now, and she's fighting it. And the city council have voted and passed laws whereby even if you're 17 year old, you commit serious crimes, you're not going to jail. You're not going to jail. And she cannot prosecute right now, folks, those because the law has to be changed. So I am urging, and you need to urge also. You need to tell your Congress to bring D.C. back into the hands of the federal government. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are continuing on our mission. We have a caller, and let's take a call, Philip, and then we'll continue. Caller, you're on the line.
Yes, George. I'm interested in what you said about Washington, D.C., about the crime rate. You know, I think it'd be interesting to do a crime, maybe a crime chart that shows the major crime cities who have the most crime. Let's say the top 20 cities in the country who has the top crime rate, and put the mayor's picture on the rate and the council members and the people who are in charge of the government in these cities, and see what they look like. See whether they're Democrats or Republicans or just what their political philosophy is. And I think it'll be a little shocking. And what you said about D.C., is, and that's the problem. One of the problems we've got in this country is people do not understand what form of government we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm involved in the Republican Executive Committee in Pensacola.
Okay.
And, you know, it's amazing how many people call America, even at these Republican meetings, democracy. We're a constitutional republic, and that's what's got our system all screwed up, is we're not acting like a republic, we're acting like a mobocratic democracy. In other words, vote for me, I'm going to do something for you. And the more we vote these people in who are going to do something for us, the more they do to us rather than for us.
Well, so then, if that's the case, then you vote them in, and then you vote them out if they don't do it.
Well, the problem with democracy is most people who vote do not know they vote based on their who their friends tell them to vote for, or who their leaders tell them to vote for. They don't vote for the person based on his character or philosophy. They vote for him based on what am I going to get out of it? Or what is my group going to get out of it? Does that make sense?
Well, some people do that, but not the majority don't, okay?
The majority does do that. That's the problem. We're living in a mobocratic democracy, and the vast majority of people, you watch it on television, they'll say, go vote. Well, voting, if you're voting for the person who promises more socialism, you're going to get more crime. The more socialism you have in a country, the more crime you're going to have. It's that simple. The more money they spend. You know, there's only two categories for criminals. History is full of criminals, but there's only two categories for them.
Okay.
Smart ones and dumb ones.
Dumb
ones rob individuals. Smart ones get themselves an education, get into law, get into politics, and rob everybody legally. Our problem, we got too many smart politicians, smart criminals in government.
I appreciate your call, and we don't have that much time, okay? But my remark is this. We have one of the best governments in the world, okay? I've traveled all overseas, Africa, I've stationed
But we have a constitutional republic, not a mobocratic democracy.
Well,
that's the problem.
That language is very sermonic. So, but I appreciate your call, and get out and vote. And if the person you voted for does not do what you think they should do, then vote for another person, okay? That's my feeling.
They're supposed to do what the Constitution says they're supposed to do, not what I say think they're supposed to do.
All right.
Not what you think they're supposed to do.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that call. All right, folks. Do we have another caller? All right, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening. I know you guys have covered a lot, and Troy, I appreciate you making yourself available to George. Great program tonight. This is David Luke, City Council candidate for Place 4. I just wanted to make mention of an event that's occurring on the 19th of August. Dr. Todd Edmonston is hosting a meet and greet for all the challengers. We'll all be there. It starts at 6 p.m., and I think it'll be a great opportunity just for the community to come out and meet each in one of us on that night.
Okay, so are you running?
I am.
Okay, and what's your name?
My name's David Luke.
Oh, David, great. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
But a great job tonight, guys. Covered a lot of important topics and issues that we're hearing from the citizens. And I just encourage everyone to consider their vote for Place 1 and make it Troy Vickers.
All right. That sounds good, David. I'm glad you call in, okay?
Thank you, George.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks, Troy.
All right, folks. We have 2 weeks from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight. So I urge you to know your candidates. That's why we have candidates coming on the air here, so that you could get to know them. And vote smartly, folks. Vote smartly. Don't like the previous caller said, don't just vote for somebody because they say vote for me, okay? Don't just vote for somebody. Vote for somebody who you honestly and truly believe that's going to be good for your your community. I think that's very, very, very important. Yeah. So that's important, folks. I really mean that. And I do not want to see Democrats, okay, into office. I really don't, folks. And know who you're voting for. You know, the local elections are nonpartisan, but we know who the Democrats are. And I'm telling you, folks, it concerns me, okay? It concerns me about nonpartisan elections. Now, we had 3 weeks ago, we had our state Republican Party meeting in Montgomery, and someone brought that up, whereby we should cease that. And our lawyers and our experts told us that would be almost impossible now, you know, to do that and vote partial instead of non-partial, okay? Vote by parties. And I think in the future that should happen, even in local elections. You know, it's in the state election, the state assembly, the state senate, the county commissions. It's all partisan. So we should make the whole thing partisan, the whole thing partisan. And I look at a city like Mobile and Birmingham and Montgomery. They are run by Democrats. And they are failing. They are failing. And the Democrats want Montgomery and want Mobile. And they want Huntsville, folks. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow that. Now, Barbara Drummond is the only Democrat right now on the ballot in Mobile, okay? The rest of the three candidates are Republicans. And in Huntsville, the same way. We want a Republican, because the Democrats, I don't know what's wrong with them. You see what's happening in D.C. You see what's happening in Chicago. You see what's happening in New York. Not just the cities, but the states, folks. Illinois, okay? The governor in Illinois, the governor of New York, they are, in my opinion, crazy. Look at some of their senators, you know, Saunders and Pocahontas and all of them. They are crazy, folks. They're crazy, okay? They don't like the United States of America. They like the benefits, though. They like the benefit. And the same way with a lot of these illegals here. They don't like America. They're just coming here for the benefit, okay? So we've got to stop that. And I agree with what President Trump is doing. Get them all out of here. Get them all out of here. It'll be much better for America in the future, because I fear my children and grandchildren, their future in America, because, folks, it's changing, not for the best, but for the worse. So let's stop it now. And the 28th election is very important. We got to make sure we get a Republican president, a Republican Congress, and a Republican Senate during that time, folks. It's very important. All right. We got to get out of here. We enjoyed tonight. We enjoyed our guests. We enjoyed the telephone calls. So we'll see you next week. Until that time, Vi Quandales, everybody. That means go with God. God be with you. That's a little Portuguese. Bye-bye, everybody.